There was a English, an 18th century English gentleman named William Gladstone who told a story. He said this. He said that he was in an art gallery or antique shop actually looking at a work of art. And in the picture on the wall or the oil painting, there was this aristocratic looking Spanish man that was you know, in completely in uniform and all this. And he had what I perceived to be like the Three Musketeers. He kind of had that look, and he thought, this is a wonderful painting, and I'd love to have it. And he asked the man in the antique store, how much is it? And the man said, well, you know, it told him what the price was. Well, he didn't have that much money, so he couldn't afford it. So he ended up not buying it, and he left. And just a few years later, he went into a wealthy gentleman's home in London, and he happened to look up on the wall, and there was that same painting, and he was kind of staring at it, looking at it. And the gentleman came over and said, do you like it? And he said, yes, I do very much. And the homeowner said, well, you know, said, that has special meaning to me. He said, it was one of my ancestors and who served in Queen Elizabeth's court. Said, that's who that is. And of course, he knew the guy was lying when he said it because he had already seen the painting. And so he replied to him, just a few more dollars and he could have been my ancestor, you know. And that's kind of the way when we get into Romans chapter 3 and 4, Paul, we see the Jews here and they are terribly concerned about ancestry. They're so concerned about it that they have this belief that it makes them righteous before God. They actually believe that where they came from and a birthright, being born into the children of God, made them righteous before God. And much like we are today sometimes, maybe not in ancestry, but the way we like to do things, we're kind of a people that like to, you know, we'd like to do it ourselves, don't we? I mean, we don't get it. We think we can do it, so we do it ourselves. And we kind of jump out there and do that thing. And we forget one of the, probably the most popular hymn in America today is Amazing Grace. And how easy it is for us to forget what those words mean. Because we sometimes, even when it comes to our relationship to God, we feel like we can do it. And these people had been structured in their lives around obedience to the law. And how, you know, if we obey the law and we keep the laws of God, then we are righteous before God. And Paul in Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4, buddy, he lowers the boom. You know, he lets them know quickly. And I'm going to go through, and I know this looks like a lot of scripture, and it is a lot of scripture. I'm kind of like this. If somebody's preaching to me, and there's more than not two or three scriptures, I'm done. You know, I can't, especially if they're telling me to turn. Because if you'd ask me to turn, after I turn twice, I'm out of here. I'm done. But I wrote it for you. I mean, Miss Sharon did. So, I mean, you can't complain much about that. I'm going to go as quickly as I possibly can. Look at Romans 3:21, where Paul says this. He addresses this with the Jewish people. He's writing this to a Jewish audience. We need to understand that up front. He says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Apart from the law, righteousness has been made known. Look what he says in Romans 3:28. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the law, from the works of the law. Apart from the law. So Paul is introducing an idea to them that is foreign because they didn't understand. He's saying it's not the laws that you're obeying. That's not what it is. He said, that's not how you get righteousness. And then in chapter 4, he really goes further here. And I put it in there for you. It's an illustration of justification by faith alone. And this, I will tell you, what I'm going to do tonight is half of our Sunday school lesson. So that tells you how short it's going to actually be. It's half. Now, he says in Romans 4:1-3, he says this. He said, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, then he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? He said that Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. That Abraham believed God. Now, you know, Paul could have picked on anybody he wanted to pick on here. He could have chosen any number of illustrations for the Jews, but he chose one that they held. It was the stronghold of their belief. Because the Jewish people believed truly that Abraham had perfectly kept the commandments of God. That's what they believed. So when Paul brings Abraham's name up into this, he stirred a hornet's nest already. The rabbis in that time spoke of God's ordaining the Torah before the foundation of the world so that Abraham could obey it. That's what they thought. That's the esteem they held Abraham in. He was regarded by the Jews who's one person, who's one who had not sinned. Now, you and I know, we know a little bit different than that, don't we? That just simply wasn't true. But this is kind of where they held him. Now, there are three references in Scripture, and I'm not going to read them, but I'll get them there for you. 2 Chronicles 27, Isaiah 41:8, and James 2:23. All are references to Abraham being a friend of God. We sing that song, that hymn in here, friend of God. But folks, the truth is, when any of us were born into this world, we weren't a friend of God. We were enemies because of sin. You know, we only become a friend of God. We only become the righteous of God because of what Jesus did for us. We're going to see that same thing happening to Abraham here. Now, to that point, Paul argues that Abraham was justified because he believed. He said right there, Abraham was justified. If he was justified by works, then he had something to boast about. But not to God, because God didn't justify him because of works. God justified Abraham because he believed. Now, the Mishnah is a collection of the rabbi's teachings on the Old Testament. And it's more like a commentary from what I understand about the Old Testament books. Now, it taught that Abraham kept the whole law even before the law had been given. He had earned the favor of God because of his works or obedience. And Paul is tearing that apart. Now, look, and this is kind of what they based their argument on. Look at Genesis 26, 4 and 5. I call it the righteousness of Abraham there. It said, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give you to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed, singular, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, see, as soon as that, when the Jews saw that, they said, okay, that proves our point. Because Abraham, it says, he obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. But that had nothing really to do with it. Abraham was credited with righteousness because he believed. Look at the next verse, Romans 4, 18 through 21. It said, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all hope, in hope he believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, either being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. That God had the power to do what he had promised. That's what Abraham. So this is the time where Abraham, you know, he's getting on up in age, and God has promised him, you're going to be the father of the nations. And Abraham's looking around and he's saying, you know, I'm not getting any younger. And certainly my wife is not getting any younger. And he, you know, he's going, God, where is my, actually, his faith did waver because he questioned God. God, you know, how is this going to take place? God took him outside and told him, look up at the sky, look at all the stars, and that's how your descendants are going to be, Abraham. You're going to have just me. And then it said, Abraham believed God. Now, Genesis 15:6 is the first Bible reference to faith, righteousness, and justification. Now, either Abraham, when he believed here, he was either one of two things. He was the most gullible human being in the world, or he was the most godly. And I don't want to misrepresent the godliness of this man, because he was definitely a godly man. But that is not what made him righteous. Righteousness was not received by Abraham as a reward for what he had done. If it was because Abraham had obeyed the laws and kept the laws, then it would be like you and I working a job and somebody paying us for it. It would be like salary. Well, that's not what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. So that's what Paul is trying to point out here. He said that's not how it was. He said, the Bible is safe, it says faith itself is credited to him as righteousness, but faith itself is not righteousness. Abraham's faith, what he believed, was credited to him as righteousness. But faith itself is not right. Let me tell you what I mean. I can have faith in the lot. I'm going to have faith in the college basketball team next week. I don't know which one it is yet, but I'll be making my mind. You probably got one because March Madness is coming, and we're going to have faith in the college basketball. But that's not counted to me as righteousness. You understand? There's a difference. Faith in itself is not righteousness, but Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. Now, the third thing I put was Abraham's response. His response is simply this. Abraham did everything he could do without doing anything. He believed. That's all he did. That's all he needed to do. He didn't have to do anything else. Now, if we look at this word that's used, that we just talked about, that's accounted or credited to him as righteousness, this word is a bookkeeping term. It's also a legal term to where you account on somebody's ledger really what you're giving them, what it is. The word in the Greek means logismai, and it means to reckon or impute. It's used 41 times in the New Testament, 35 times by Paul in his writings. Verse 3 said it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 5 says his faith is accounted for righteousness. Verse 6 said God imputes righteousness apart from works. And then in, I think, verse 10, it's used again. It's used through this entire thing. Now here's what I think this bookkeeping term means. It simply means this, that God looked down on Abraham's account and he transferred from his account sin, took the sin and put righteousness in his account. Because it said he believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, let's if you follow me up to that point, I know I'm going fast, but I must. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. What did Abraham believe? Exactly what did he believe? Now look what it says there in Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So Abraham believed God. He believed what God told him. Your descendants are going to be numerous as stars in the sky. You go where I tell you to go. Abraham believed and he did what God asked him to do. But is that all he believed? Let's look further. Look at Galatians 3:8. You cannot read Romans, folks, and not read Galatians at the same time because they tie in so many places. Look at what Galatians 3:8 says. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. What? All nations will be blessed through you. Did you hear what that said? God would justify the Gentiles by faith. You know, Paul's preaching to the Jews here. He said Abraham was told that Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And he announced the gospel to Abraham. He announced the gospel to Abraham before the gospel was ever born. Now he was already here, but he wasn't born physically yet. This is long before the Christ came. But he says that was announced to Abraham so that all the Gentiles now will don't join the Jews and being blessed of God through Abraham. You talk about a really, really strange happening. That's it. See, Paul's tying all this in together. Look at Galatians 3:16 right there. He said, I'm sorry, Galatians 3:13-14. He said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. The blessing given to Abraham might come through to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So what did Abraham believe? Well, obviously, Abraham, when we go back over there to where we read that just a few moments ago, you notice I stopped when it said, and in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Seed, singular. You look in every scriptural reference, and you're not going to find a plural word there. Everything rests on one little letter, the letter S. It's not there. Because he said, in your seed, all the nations will be blessed. Abraham believed in the seed that was coming. Abraham believed, had faith, and God told him, your people are going to be blessed. It's going to be blessed because of the seed that I'm going to send. And Abraham believed that. And because Abraham believed that, it was counted to him as righteousness. Is this a radical idea? Well, not really, folks, because that's the same way we get it. It's exactly the same thing happened to us. God didn't do anything special to Abraham. You know, later on in chapter 4 down through there, Paul starts talking about the ungodly, the justification of the ungodly. And I love it that he does that. He actually tells the Jewish listeners that Abraham was ungodly. Because when you justified Abraham through faith, then he was ungodly. So we justify the ungodly. And folks, it makes all the sense in the world. You know, the righteous don't need saving. Do they? If they're already righteous, they don't need to be saved. It's the ungodly. You know who ungodly is? That's you. That's me. We all are ungodly before God. So was Abraham. He was a sinner before God. He was a good man. He believed God. And it was counted to him as righteousness. But it was only counted to him as righteousness because he believed that the Redeemer was coming through his line. I believe that as much as anything I'm sitting here, I believe that. Look at Galatians 3:16. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, who is the Christ. Dispels any ambiguity there, doesn't it? Takes care of all that. And then here's the affirmation. John 8:56, Jesus himself says these words. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Now, I don't know about you folks, but that kind of tickles the chill bumps going up and down my spine right now. To think that we serve a God who could say to Abraham, I want you to believe in the seed that's coming. How do you do that? First of all, If we told some old people in the church here today that you're gonna father 15 or 20 children, you know, they'd run us out of the church. You know, somebody have us committed before the end of the night. But Abraham was told, you and Sarah there, you're almost 100 years old, you're going to father a nation. And Abraham believed. He believed it. The most improbable thing that you could ever believe. He believed it because he believed in the seed that was coming to save his people. Man, that's a special thing for you and I. I told you it was short, and I was to my word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the revelation, what your word has said to us. Father, we ask you now to bless us. Lord, bless these undertakings that we're taking on as a church. Lord, we don't want to do anything that you don't want to do. We don't want to do anything that you have not blessed. And Father, we ask you again to bless us. Bless us as leaders, Lord, for the days ahead. We pray, Lord, strengthen us. Lord, help us as a people that we might live up to the responsibility of things you've set forth for us. Father, help us to be the proclaimers of this message, for that we all are born ungodly and that we're all in need of a Savior. Help us, Lord, to share that message with those that might listen to us. But we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.